Christmas is often a busy time, isn't it? A time where our minds float and our bodies run. If any of you happen to see even on the internet what this past weekend was and is, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, billions and billions of dollars going for many gifts, and much excitement fills the air. There was a young mother who had just gone through a really rough time during the Advent season and was trying to find the right gift and couldn't find the right gift and just was going from pither to post, just not sure what to do. And she came back home, and it didn't get any better at home. How many mothers can relate with that sometimes? And this mother had a young daughter who just would not cooperate, would not listen, would not do anything that her mother asked of her. And so they finally came to the end of the day, and the mother was heavy of heart and heavy of mind, and they had their time of devotion and a prayer. And she asked the young girl to pray, her young daughter to pray, and as children often do, she prayed this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. Children, they put it in perspective, don't they, sometimes. We are in the Advent season. We are looking forward to celebrating and remembering once again the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last week we mentioned and focused on the second coming. And the prophetic hope of this candle reminds us that Jesus is coming again. But Jesus came not only to save the sin of humanity future, but the sin of humanity past. And I don't know about you, the first time that I read this particular passage in Matthew, it was like, another genealogy? Really, God? But there's so much richness in the Word of God. And behind every one of these names that I will read to you in just a minute, there's a story. There's a powerful story of God at work in their lives. And so we're going to look at just a couple of them today. But I want to pray for us, and we'll work our way through this genealogy. Lord Jesus, thank you that it is through your broken body that the beauty of our salvation came about. It is through you becoming man and being broken that our salvation comes about. We thank you for this Advent season, that we can come to you once again afresh and anew and look and say, yes, come Lord Jesus. Thank you for this passage that shows us of the brokenness, the beauty of your earthly family line, Lord Jesus, and help us to learn even just a little bit of something that would come out of these names, the stories of these names that would be special, that would be significant for us in this Advent season. We praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you want to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, tablets, whatever works best for you, follow along with me. The record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Abinadab, Abinadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salomon, Salomon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, the father of Abud, Abud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Achim, Achim, the father of Elud, Elud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. So, our families of origin. Entitled this, All in the Family, Who's Coming for Christmas? We live in a time where families, all our families of different times, maybe not all, but many of our families have a brokenness to them that is the sin nature, the flesh that is in there. And as we come together sometimes, especially at Christmas or special times of the year, that brokenness seems to be exacerbated. Eh? At times you get together and you're in close quarters together, close fellowship, and the weaknesses, the brokenness seems to come out even just a little bit more. Jesus knows about this brokenness. Jesus came as a babe in a manger in order to die on the cross for all of these names just listed. That's powerful to think about for us today. Think about our families of origin. Many of you know, I just took my first cohort at Crest. Crest is a leadership program that I've enrolled in and I'm thankful to be a part of. The very first day at Crest, what we did was share our life story. And folks, it was pretty intimidating in some ways, sharing with people you just met about 4 hours earlier. The deepest parts of you, the deepest parts of your life, the brokenness of your family line, the brokenness of things that have happened. Many of us probably want to forget some parts of our family history. Some of us. Well, you know, on my dad's side, just thinking of some of our family history, I was told by a person who had done a lot of more research on my dad's side of the family than I had. He was actually my Greek professor in Bible school. Didn't get me any better grades. He was related to me, but that's okay. He said to me and proceeded to say to the whole class, my first Greek class at Rocky Mountain College, you see that guy in the back row there? I'm related to him. My wife's maiden name is Steves. Said, oh, yeah. You don't want to know how the Steves came to Canada? And he proceeded to share that. There were 7 brothers, and one of them came in 1566 to down the St. Lawrence Seaway from Germany, and liked the alcoholic beverages a little bit too much, and drank a little bit too much of that alcoholic beverage, and got kicked off the boat in what is now New Brunswick. And that is how the Steves came to Canada and also Pennsylvania and other things. So, yeah, look at that, eh? The Steves, look out. Look out for us. But he lived on turnips the whole winter, sobered up, obviously, sent a letter back to Germany and said, hey, my 6 brothers, come on over. And here we are. And the Steves family has been very prolific ever since. Had a chance, as well as a couple others in the congregation here, maybe some of you have been to Prince Edward Island and to the legislature in Prince Edward Island. And in Prince Edward Island, there's a picture of the Fathers of Confederation. And just a few steps away from Sir John A. Macdonald is William Henry Steves. So kind of a neat thing. I still need to get that connection there a little bit, but he is a relative of mine. So that's pretty neat to see from what God has done. So there is good and bad in all of our families. Good decisions, bad decisions within our own immediate family and others as well. Just for a second, think about your family line. Many moons ago, some of you don't know some of it, some of you do. But just imagine sitting down to dinner with all those mentioned in the list of your family line. And having Christmas dinner with all of them. It's It's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Imagine for a second that these 2,000 years, almost of history or more than that, here that we've just read in Matthew chapter 1, all of these members of Jesus Christ's lineage sitting down to a table for dinner. Wouldn't you like to have be a fly on the wall in that conversation? Just imagine. Not that that would be possible, of course, but I think in heaven it is right now, right? They're all up there. Very interesting. So think about, I just want to draw our attention historically for a minute, for the historians in the room. Why would Matthew start with a genealogy? Why? In the Gospels. It's important to remind ourselves of the significance of the time and the origin of Jesus Christ. When it came to priests in the Old Testament, you couldn't be a priest unless you could trace your line back to the Levites, to the tribe of Levi, right? So you needed to have a genealogical record for that. As for Jews in general, they were concerned that there would be no mixed blood in the Jewish line. You see this in their interaction with Samaritans, which were kind of half Jews, right? So genealogies, family lines were quite important to kind of weed this out, so to speak. It's also worth noting that, as William Barclay, a theologian, mentions, that within this actual genealogical record that Matthew states, and within genealogies of the Old Testament, it was a mnemonic form of helping the Jews at the time, of course, would not have their own scroll, would not have their own copy of the Old Testament Torah, to be able to understand the message from God, from Yahweh. Very interesting about that. So this genealogy is informed in such a way so that the Jewish people of Matthew's time, of Jesus' time, will be able to clearly understand that Jesus was the descendant or son of David, or the son of Abraham. And we see this at the very beginning, verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Find it interesting, in light of Jesus saying, before Abraham was, I am. But yet we see here the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Very interesting. The I don't know if it would be a disagreement. I don't think it would, because all scripture works together and interprets each other. It is a fulfillment of prophecy to put this genealogy in place. It's a fulfillment of the promise of the prophet Nathan to David the king in 2 Samuel 7:16, which says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Forever. God keeps his promises forever. And so for Matthew to include this, and the timing of when this was included after 400 years of silence, to the point where we see here all of a sudden, bang, here comes the record of Jesus Christ. It is the promise that has been kept from the time of King David. And it's something that he wants all Jews and non-Jews to remember. Despite what some of the names that are listed here, we have names of the patriarch Abraham and the king in David. But yet there's some other names here that, both Abraham and David sinned. Both of them fell short. They both had issues in their own life of making mistakes. But we have some other names in here that we thought maybe if we were to make this genealogical record, maybe shouldn't have been included. Possibly. Some questionable lives, some questionable things. These first 17 verses of Matthew 1 tell a story of grace. These first 17 verses tell a story that, as we mentioned last week, that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. This is the story of Jesus Christ. This, from the very beginning verses of Genesis to the very end of Revelation, Jesus may be somewhat concealed in the Old Testament, but is very much revealed in the New Testament. And Matthew is kind of opening up the book and saying, hey, look, this is the message of salvation for the Jews, for all mankind. This record of names is a living history, a history filled with brokenness, brokenness of sin, of exile, but a promise of reconciliation. Dark and light filter out through the names of Jesus' earthly family tree, not unlike many of our own, as we mentioned before. As we said, as we gather together this Christmas season, Christmas can be a very broken and dark time. Jesus himself was born in order to be broken. I love the line in one of the very famous Christmas songs, Mary, Did You Know? It said, Mary, did you know that the baby you delivered would soon deliver you? To think of Jesus being the Savior of all mankind for all time, that he not only delivered his own mother from sin through the sacrifice on the cross, but he delivered Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, Hezron. All these names on this list, powerful thoughts for us to think about today. Jesus' genealogy tells the many stories of a nation of Israel, of a people and of the plan of salvation. It covers three eras, Abraham to David, David to the Babylonian exile, Babylonian exile to Christ. We all see the different characters. We know some of the stories as we see these names come up. The questionability of their character, though, hear this, church, the questionability of some of their character does nothing to diminish the authority in which Jesus comes. For he was born of a virgin. And his death paid for the sins of Judah and Tamar, along with the other 15 names on this list, as we mentioned before. So I just wanted to pick two names and just talk about them for a few minutes. Not going to go in great detail. But Tamar's name, we see in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Matthew, is important. First of all, that a woman's name is actually mentioned there is quite significant for the cultural time. And even for Middle Eastern culture today, to have a woman's name mentioned, women, even to this day, in many countries in the Middle East, are not given the privileges and the rights that women in Western European culture have had for many, many, many years. Many of you probably saw the news story about a year ago. Saudi Arabia gave the right to drive to women. They had not previously had the right to have a driver's license. So we see here, down through the centuries, and within even this genealogy, that for Jesus to include in the canon of Scripture women in his earthly genealogy speaks to the grace of God, to the message that the whole New Testament brings to us of that all are one in Christ Jesus, whether slave or free, Gentile or Jew, male or female, all are one. And Matthew basically gives us a foreshadow here of that. And to include Tamar and Judah, who things just didn't work out in their family very well. It's very tough. Tamar tried to marry two of Judah's sons, and they treated her very, very poorly. And it did not work out very well at all. And then deception took place, but it was a very interesting deception that Tamar wanted to continue the family line and didn't want to wait for Judah's youngest son to become mature enough. And even when he was, there seems to be some sort of blinders on there. You can read the entire story of Tamar and Judah in Genesis 38. But Tamar, through sexual promiscuity, with Judah, took two items after this act took place. A seal and a cord and a staff were taken by Tamar from Judah. This is kind of interesting. Just a quote there from Bob Deffenbaugh, a Hebrew scholar, says this. So Judah's seal... Where are we here? I'll just read it up there. Judah's seal was one of a kind, as were those of others. He would therefore immediately recognize it as his own. The same was true of the staff. Possession of these gave Tamar proof of the identity of the father of her child when he was born. So basically, for our modern day context, Tamar took Judah's driver's license and his birth certificate, right? Took it away, and then found out later on, and Judah denied it for a while, but was not able to deny it when Tamar came out publicly with, "Whose are these?" And they were, of course, Judah's. God is teaching a lesson to both Judah and Tamar of how to keep promises. Tamar didn't wait, neither did Judah. Judah was deceived by Tamar. So why would Matthew include such a questionable story in the Old Testament in the genealogy of the Messiah? Again, God's grace, his salvation, is there. This does not mean that Jesus himself was tainted with sin. As I mentioned before, he came, he was born of a virgin. And so that act of what the Holy Spirit did in impregnating Mary shows the purity of who Jesus is. But yet there is still a lineage. And I think to put lineages and genealogies on their head, to flip that a little bit, to say, you know what? Jesus accepts each and every one of us, Judahs and Tamars of our world today, just as we are. Just as we are. He accepts us. He doesn't accept the sin. He doesn't accept what was done. But he accepts us. And he forgives us. He loves us. Jesus' family tree has redemption written all over it. As does Faith Community Baptist Church. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the ones who we have been taken from the place of darkness, as Colossians says, and brought into his marvelous light. We've been transferred. We've been changed. And our families, no matter how broken, no matter how much sin may be in our past, present, or future, it's been redeemed. We have been redeemed. And we can count on that. No matter how much rejection we may get in this life or may have already had, we are accepted in Jesus Christ. We are accepted in him. And there is a story. Our story is a story of God. David in the Psalms, in Psalm 139, says, "All the days that were ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be." All those days, all the mistakes, all the things we've done wrong and all the things we've done right. But he's redeemed us. I love what both the psalmist and Paul says. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? Right? If you kept a record of sins, who could stand? So this line, sometimes, I know the first time I read it, it's like, oh man, this looks like a record of sins. But it's not. It's a record of grace. It's a record of redemption. What Jesus has done for us and will do for us. Some of you here today sit here and say, oh, Pastor, I've been praying for my family, my unsaved family members, for 25 years. I've been praying for my unsaved spouse for 25, 30, 40 years, and they haven't given their life over to Jesus. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep working that out, because your story is a story of redemption. God will work that out. God will do it in his time, in his love, and in his way. What we just celebrated here, what we just commemorated by coming forward, is our redemption. Jesus bled and died for us. So when you read these stories, or read the things that have happened, and the story of Judah and Tamar, or others of Rahab, questionable characters, but not a questionable God. God has always been God. He will always be God. He is the one who, from the very beginning of Genesis, has said, "I will strike his heel." Right? "You'll crush his head. Even though his heel is struck, I'll crush his head," crushing the head of Satan. Redemption is interwoven throughout all of biblical history and our history as well. Prodigal love, as we sang. We are in the season of Christmas. We have the Advent wreath. But what's the real reason? Christ's sacrifice. So this is the season, but that is the reason. This is the message of Christmas. There was a gem dealer who was at a gem and rock show. And he came looking through different gems and rocks as he was interested in that kind of a thing. And he looked down at and found this blue violet stone that was about the shape of a potato. And he got pretty excited about this. But he calmed himself and asked the vendor, could I possibly give you about $15 for this? And the vendor looked at it and thought, didn't look like much. So he said, you know what, I'm going to give it to you even cheaper than that. I'm going to give you this little rock, this potato-shaped rock, for $10. Oh, his heart just leapt inside of him. He took this stone, and being a gem dealer and a certified geologist himself, knew what was inside this little potato-shaped rock. The stone has since been certified as a 1905-carat natural star sapphire, about 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind. And its appraisal, $2.28 million. And he bought it for $10. It took a lover of stones to see this lovely sapphire's worth. And it took Jesus Christ, the lover of souls, to see the worth in every one of these names and every one of your names. You're not here by accident. You're here for a reason. You're in your place, your families of origin, brokenness and all, for a reason. So that out of you will flow the rivers of living water of Jesus Christ to touch hearts and change lives. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do in the lives and hearts of the people here in this church, Lord. That there is great worth in every family member here, just as you saw great worth in putting Judah and Tamar's name in the story of salvation here in your word. Lord Jesus, I pray for those of us who may get discouraged about our families of origin, about our immediate families who we just can't seem to get along. Or we just can't seem to get beyond the past. Lord Jesus, you came to bring forgiveness. You came to bring healing. You came to bring acceptance and security and significance to every one of us and every one of our family members, no matter how dark or distracted or discouraged any of them may be. Father, I pray for the empowerment of my brothers and sisters here today, to see the worth, as this gem dealer did, in something that looked so ordinary. Father, you see the extraordinary in every one of our lives. You see that and you want to bring that out. And so this Christmas season, as we have that expectation, that heightened expectation of something special, a specialness pervades the air of this season. Oh, Lord Jesus, may this be a season where many people's hearts would become a Bethlehem, where you would be born into their hearts, into the lives and minds of our family members in a fresh and new way. Father, when we enter into the new year coming, that there would be members of our families. I pray this in boldness, that there would be members of our families that would enter 2020 different than they ended 2019. They'll enter as children and members of the family of God, for they will have experienced your presence this Christmas. Your advent will come for the very first time in families, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, please, you know how many have been praying for years. I pray that you would reveal yourself in families of FCBC and all our areas of influence this Christmas season in fresh and new ways and powerful ways that we never thought possible. Because you see great worth in all of us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.